Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Passion City Church Sabbath Break Podcast. It's obviously Louie and Christian coming to you from what maybe looks familiar a little bit. Yeah, 515 transformed into a little sitting nook, Christian.
Living room, sitting nook. I like the sitting nook.
Sitting nook didn't feel like me, but I don't know where that came from. But living room, whatever. Our team's done an amazing job of hopefully making this feel a little bit like your living room, your dorm room, your apartment, wherever you may be watching this right now. And Christian, you know, I'm thinking right now about all the people that come to Passion City Church. Yeah. And we see them out here at 10 o'clock, the 12:30, yeah. the 5.
Yeah.
But we don't see them every week. So if we put all the people that come to Passion City Church a couple times a month in one space, it's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
And I'm thinking they're all watching this right now, a whole bunch of people.
I've even got some of their faces in my head.
I know. I know who's sitting right there at 12:30.
Right,
I know who sits right there at 10. I know at 5, the people that are normally right over there. Yeah, we know, people. We know who you are and where you sit. But we're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we, as Passion City Church, as a family and a house, just step back. We like to wrap three words around our Sabbath break, that we are stopping and we're resting. And we are remembering. We're stopping from that thing of we've got to keep the machine going. We've got to keep it going every single day. We're resting from our efforts, and we're remembering the faithfulness of God. And we're doing that as a house, honestly, just to make a statement. Now, we don't really necessarily need to take a break. I think almost everybody's already had a vacation this summer, and people have been to the beach, and people have had a time to decompress a little bit. But we want to make a statement that we are in God's corner, and God knows that we need to remember who He is and what He has done in our lives. The Scripture says even God rested on the seventh day of creation.
Yeah. Seems like it's something.
Yes, he creates the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we've seen on planet Earth. He creates man, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his labors. I've been thinking about that my whole life, because when I was a kid, I really honestly thought, well, he must have been tired because he had worked so hard to create the entire cosmos in 6 days. Of course, he needed to stop and rest, but God didn't rest because he was tired. God rested because he wanted Adam and Eve's first day on earth. Think about that. Their first day on earth was a day of rest. They arrived on day 6 into an already in motion story. They arrived into God's already in motion creation account. And on day 1, when they woke up full of life, not tired, God said, today we're going to rest. I'm amazed by that thought, because what God wanted them to know was, I'm enough for you, and we're going to start with me and what I've done, and then we're going to begin with you and what you're going to do in partnership with me in the world.
Beautiful.
And so from the very beginning, rest is a part of the fabric of the story of God. And it's never because God's tired. It's always because God wants us to remember that it's all about Him. We're going to be right here with you in your house. I'm trying to picture people right now. I don't know if maybe there's a family like around their dining room table right now, and Dad's got the computer up and he said, come on, kids, gather around. Maybe somebody's like high tech and their Apple TV in this to the, you know, 55-inch screen in the den.
Surround sound.
Somebody's probably on an iPhone somewhere, on a you know, in an airport, sitting
in a coffee shop somewhere.
Somebody's somewhere. They got their plugs in and they're kind of watching, and people are like, "What are you looking at? What are you watching?" So we don't know where you are. We don't know exactly how you've got it all configured, but we want to invite you in to the family of Passion City Church. Invite you into worship. And no matter how many miles are in between us right now, you may be at the lake or at the beach or, you know, that favorite place that your family likes to get away. You may be somewhere right in the middle of a busyness right now, but we want to invite you in with us to a moment to stop and to rest and to remember. And Christian's going to lead us in worship. And depending on how the people in your family sing, you may just want to, you know, go for it or not. But we want you to enter in. So this isn't something you watch. This is something you enter into. As we all lean in together today and say, God, you know, we have seen your faithfulness. We've seen your faithfulness this year. We've seen your faithfulness over the course of our lives together. And we believe that we are going to see your faithfulness through the rest of 2014 and into whatever it is that you have for us. This is our story today. at Passion City Church. We have seen the faithfulness of God this year and in all the years of our journey. And we believe we are going to see the faithfulness of God till the end of this year. We've seen people in our church come to life in Jesus this year. We've seen 400 light bulbs go up in our oval on the Jesus's Life wall, signifying high school students, middle school students, moms and dads, people who were passing through town and came to a gathering, people who are visiting here under random circumstances and heard the gospel, and their hearts came to life and they said, I want Jesus in my life. And when they did, they came alive in Jesus Christ. We have seen families restored in our house this year. We've seen people healed in our house this year. We've seen people who've prayed very specifically for things like houses and other situations have their prayers answered by God this year. We've seen the hope of heaven with families in our church who've lost loved ones this year. We've seen people endure through the valley of the shadow of death and walk through all kinds of darkness, and yet they have walked and they have lived and they are still worshiping God because God's power was greater than whatever they walked through. We've seen people meet and marry. We've seen babies be born into our house. We've seen people reach out in extraordinary acts of kindness and generosity towards other people in our city and the cities of America and other places in the world. We have gathered in worship and had our minds blown. We've opened the Word of God and had our eyes opened. We have seen God's favor on our house. And we've seen God's faithfulness from the very beginning until now. And we believe that that same God is going to lead you and He is going to lead your family all the way through this year. And at the end of this year, and Christian, at the end of every year, we are going to look back and see the salvation of our God. That's why we worship in the good days and the bad, in the highs and the lows, when it's life and death, we still know we have the victory. Because our God is able, our God is greater. And so lead us today, all of us, as we just lean together and come as one heart, one family, Lord, just to lift up your name, to exalt you, to remember you, to celebrate you, to put our hope and our trust in you, Jesus.
Let our praise be your welcome. Our songs be a sign we are here for you. We are here for you. And let your breath come from heaven and fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. Jesus, we are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Worthy God, let your fire fall down and let our shout be your anthem and your renown fill the skies. Yes, we are here for you, Jesus. You alone. We are here for you. Oh, let your word, Lord, let your word move in power. And let what's dead come to life even now. We are here for you. Yes, it's true. are here for you. And we're open before you, Jesus. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. And you alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Oh, let your fire fall down on us now, on us now. Let your fire fall down. Oh, Lord, we pray, oh, we pray today. Fire fall down, fire fall, fire fall.
Faith and our belief and our hope in you makes us one today. So I pray wherever we are, Jesus, I pray wherever we are, in homes, in libraries, and in coffee shops, and in airports, and wherever we are, that we could just say, wherever that space is, that place is becoming a sanctuary, a place of praise. We come together. Say, this is your moment. We are here for you, and nothing else will do, and no one else will do, because there's no one like you, and there's nothing like you. And so we worship you, Jesus.
So we worship you. Come on, worship, worship, wherever you are. Welcome in this place. You're welcome.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away our sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take us home, what joy shall fill our hearts. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great you are, how great you are. Rest in your greatness, we breathe in the wonder, our great God. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love and through the storm. He is Lord, the Lord of all. I know in Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, and through
in the Savior's love. I know that through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. You're Lord of all I know. We've tasted and we've seen it. You're the cornerstone.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are sure, that you are solid ground beneath our feet. Thank you that when everything else in life is sinking sand, all the people we counted on, all the jobs we counted on, all the relationships we were banking on, all the deals we were hoping in, when they all got shaky, we just praise you today that you've always been bedrock underneath our feet and that you always will be. So encourage us today as a house. Encourage us as people, as families, as sons and daughters and moms and dads. Encourage us today that you are enough for us and that you will never change. You will never waver. That we can put our hope in you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We give you praise. We're purposely stopping to make sure we're building our life on you. So lead us on. That's our hope. That's our prayer. For your namesake, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Wow. I can feel it. What a journey of just even the new and the old, you know? I mean, even Cornerstone, which is an older hymn with sort of some new verses and how great thou art, which our parents have sung.
Timeless.
And it's a song that the church has sung, and that's what we're remembering today, that God is faithful. You know, the passage that comes to my mind when you're singing that song is 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about this idea of the cornerstone. And if you live in a city, you can even see it now. If you go around the town, even in maybe a smaller town, in the downtown of a big city or a small town, there might be a courthouse or an older building there. And as you walk around the four corners of that building, one of those corners is probably going to have a cornerstone in it. And it may not literally be holding the building up, but figuratively it is. It might have inscribed on it a date. This building was dedicated in 1875 or in 1942. It may have the names engraved on it of the architects or the builders or the people who are responsible for that building coming to pass. It might have a scripture verse on it or a quote by someone. And that stone represents the memory of the building of that building to everyone who comes year after year after year, generation after generation after generation. And at the corner of our house, there's a stone. And at the corner of our lives, there is a stone.
Yeah.
And it's not a figurative stone. Our lives and this house literally are built on this stone. And it is the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His life in us, to live and be in us what we could never live or be on our own. That's the foundation on which everything we do is built. We like to say we're a Jesus church, Christian, and I love that.
Yep.
Because we believe in the power and the life of Jesus, not just as a story in the past, but as our reality right now going forward in the future. If you're new to Passion City Church, by the way, I'm thinking by now people are like, okay, can you help me with this Sabbath break idea a little bit? Because what's going to happen exactly?
Yeah.
And you've already figured by now that we're not meeting two Sundays. And so nothing was happening around here. And I'm afraid somebody didn't get the word, and they probably drove up to the gate. And there was a nice little Sabbath sign on the gate. And they were like, wait a minute, the traffic is amazing today. I'm going to get to park in the lot. This is good. And they got right up to the lot and said, hey, you know, there are no parking people here today. This is kind of crazy. And then they realized, oh, we're not meeting Sabbath break. What does that mean? And then the next Sunday, the same thing happens again. And here's the idea behind all of this for us. We really believe that as a house, it's important that we remember the bigness, the sovereignty of God. And so for two Sundays in the year, we just say, don't come. We're not saying don't worship. We're not saying don't love Jesus. We're not saying even don't give to our house and support our house because we have bills we have to pay even during the weeks of our Sabbath break. We're not saying forget about your relationships, don't have community with people. We're just saying we're not going to gather under this roof. And that's for a couple of reasons. Number one, it says thank you to the door holders that serve at Passion City Church.
Right.
And for two Sundays, the tent leaders and Passion Kids, the amazing people that are there with our youngest kids in Bloom, our student leadership team that's always trying to convert this loading dock into a place where teenagers can meet Jesus and have their lives transformed. Everything that happens in this building, from our building team, our parking team, our host team, our production team, the people that are taking our giving and counting all of our giving and sorting all that out and depositing all that money, and on and on and on and on and on. There's just a lot of people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people every time we gather who are leaning in. And we want to say to every door holder at Passion City Church, thank you,
absolutely,
thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we pray that in these two weekends that you'll be able to go, you know, I'm not really that happy that I'm not holding the door today. I've met a lot of door holders that are like, I like the Sabbath break,
yeah,
but I'd just soon be holding the door today because I love that opportunity to make a way for other people to come meet Jesus. But just know how much you are loved today and how much we appreciate you and know how much we are counting on you to help us build this house up on that cornerstone of Jesus. And we're going to do that for the rest of this year. You're going to be right in there with us. But for these 2 weeks, it's a thank you to you, mm-hmm, and it's a thank you to our team.
Yeah.
So as a boss, as a pastor, but a boss, Shelly and I made a decision that we're going to give our entire team off the week between our two Sabbath breaks. It doesn't count against their vacation, doesn't count against their personal time. It's just us trying to put, you know, our money where our mouth is and say that we want everybody at ease. We don't want anybody on email. We don't want anybody figuring out plans. We don't want anybody strategizing. We don't want anybody solving problems. We've got a whole year to do that, and we love that. We love work. We love being a part of what God is doing. We love solving problems and dreaming vision. And we love architecting things and building things. And we love all the details it takes to make something like Passion City Church come to life. But we said to our whole team, for the week between the two Sundays, everybody rests. Everybody takes a break. Everybody has the opportunity to stop, rest, and remember. That seems like our hashtag, by the way. We didn't talk about this earlier. Can we have a hashtag on Sabbath break? That'd be a good hashtag.
That'd be a good hashtag.
Stop, hashtag stop, rest, remember.
No matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your hashtag stop, rest, remember.
Yeah, and you know, you're saying, well, I'm not going to tweet because I'm on Sabbath break. Look, I don't think it's going to break the law of the Sabbath for us to, you know, get a little hashtag out there. But that's a good hashtag over these few days together. Lots of people will be seeing that going, what's up with the stop, rest, remember? And then we can explain, hey, God made the world. God made me. God runs the world, and God runs me.
Yeah.
So I'm just remembering that it's not all about me. It doesn't all rest on me. It's not all about my wisdom, my power, my ability.
Right.
It's all about God's wisdom and God's power and God's ability. And so two Sundays, nothing happens. Door holders, thank you. To our team that worked so hard to make this work, rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love it. You remember we had someone come in and speak to our team a few weeks ago.
Right.
This person works in the business world, in the athletic world of Atlanta. I guess we could say they're a coach. I don't want to give it away too much. But they're a coach of an athletic team in Atlanta. And so they came to talk to us and to just talk to us about leadership, about Jesus, about, you know, our hearts. And amazing, we do that pretty often with our team. And so this person is sitting there talking about bringing people to Passion City Church who don't know Jesus,
awesome.
Who are not church-going kinds of people, have never been anywhere like this before. Mm-hmm. And this person, did I say if it was a he or she yet?
I don't remember.
Okay, so this,
okay,
we'll just say with it. This person, it said, I'm bringing people, and here's what I'm thinking. This is him talking to our team. He said, I'm bringing these people. This is going to be their one shot probably at being at Passion City Church this week. And all I'm thinking all week long is, I hope they bring their A game this week. Because this is my one shot. I'm thinking I can get all these guys here on this day. I hope they bring their A game today. And I mentioned that in one of the gatherings Sunday, and maybe you weren't in that gathering. By the way, we have gatherings here at Passion City Church.
Yes,
interesting.
We
don't have services.
Because
that feels worky to me.
Yeah.
We have gatherings where all of us as the church gather under one roof, mm-hmm. gather in worship and in the Word around the person of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate Him. That's why we call them gatherings at all of our times on Sunday. But he said, I know I got one shot, one gathering, and I'm hoping you guys, looking at our team, bring your A game. And I just want you to know that's what we feel every week. This is what God has called us to do and be. And so every week when we walk through this door, we're thinking this is their one shot. And we want to bring our best every single time. And that's not about personalities. You know, I meet people all the time and say, our A game would be when, you know, so-and-so's speaking and so-and-so's leading. No, that's not what it's about. It's about seeking God.
Right.
It's about hearing from God. It's about getting a plan from God and about working on that plan with God so that we can walk through the door confident that we have something from God for the people in this house.
Yeah.
And that's the joy of being a pastor. It's the joy of being a leader. It's the joy of serving you and serving Him and serving this house. And I love being able to say to our team, thank you for bringing your A game through the door.
Mm-hmm.
For this week, we're going to rest and remember that God is the one who brings the A game through us.
That's right. That's great.
And so what are you supposed to do, Christian? What does a family do? We're not meeting for 2 weeks. Some people are like, I don't know what to do if...
Yeah.
We're not meeting for 2 weeks. So what are some things people could do on Sabbath break? I mean, for example, they could go to lunch with their neighbors because their neighbors maybe not coming to church.
They got some time.
And so they could say, hey, you know, we're usually at church on Sunday. You're usually not at church on Sunday, but we're not going to be at church the next two Sundays. This might be a good Sunday.
Neighborhood party.
For us to have a neighborhood party, to go to the lake, for us to take you out to lunch, for us to go to a Braves game, for us to do whatever, because we don't get to do this on Sunday very often.
Yeah. I love it too, and I know there's a lot of parents watching, but I love explaining this to my kids because my kids are starting.
So
they start to get it, you know. They start to go, "We're not," because every Sunday we're like, "It's time for church. It's awesome." And I love these two Sundays because we say to them, "Hey, we're not going to church. We're just going to stop, rest, and remember." And to explain that to my almost 8-year-old and 5-year-old, and watch them go, "Huh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we just rest in Jesus today. That's what we do." And it's cool. And for me, as a part of the team here at the church, it allows me to be a part of the everyday rhythm of life, you know, at home with my kids. And it's an awesome time. But yeah, lots of possibilities.
Yeah, you could go to another church, and we don't mind that. You're like, you know what? I just cannot do Sunday without going to church and gathering with people. You could do that. There are a lot of great churches in our city. And you could go and hang out with some other folks and enjoy that. That's awesome as well.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to serve in a mission project somewhere in the city and say, I know there are things going on around town and shelters and other places that might need a volunteer for the day. Let's go put our hands to worship on this day as a family. You could just be a family together. And Dad, you could just open up scripture and say, hey, Mom, Dad, kids, let's just look back at one of the passages we talked about during the Goliath Must Fall series.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just look at that again. Let's get our notes out on our phones and our journals, and let's just remember what God was teaching us as a family. You could just, I think one of the greatest things you could do is to make a list of God's faithfulness for this year and just stop for a few moments and just start writing down the things that God has done this year to come through for you. There may be a list of a few things that you are saying, God hasn't, in my view, come through yet in these things, but He has come through for me in these ways this year, and I'm just going to give Him praise for what He's done in my life. But all of that rests on this promise that there is a cornerstone named Jesus.
Awesome.
And I want to read one passage. And Christian, I want to, the thing about this that really has encouraged me in the last few days thinking about it, mm-hmm. is that when man sees something wrong, God often can see something that can be made right. And with us, we see things that are broken, things that are frustrated. We see dead ends. We see things that didn't turn out the way we hoped. But with God, all things are possible.
Right.
And God always sees a way to do what no one else can do. And I believe in Sabbath, God wants to encourage a lot of us in our house that the story isn't over. Your story isn't finished yet. God is still working and God is still writing. And when it says the end, at the end of our stories, we're going to go, wow, that is amazing how you took that and turned it into something beautiful that glorifies your name. When we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, coming around this idea of the cornerstone, I just back up and read the whole passage. This is what it says. It says, therefore, talking about mature believers, people like most of us on this podcast today, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit. Rid yourselves of hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
That's great.
This is what we want to do as a house. This is what we talk about all the time. We want to grow on up into the salvation that God has brought to us. And he's saying, you know how a newborn babe has that hunger for that milk? Well, he said, I want you to have that hunger for the things of God so that in the nourishment that comes from God, you'll be able to grow up in your salvation now that you've figured out and you've tasted that the Lord is good. And I think this describes our house, because I meet so many people at Passion City Church who are like, I just got there. You know, and I'm a mature believer, okay? So I'm one of the oldest people at our church. Hello. I'm one of the oldest people in our gatherings. I'm the oldest person on our staff, except for one or two, and I won't mention that. And so I get it. I've been around this my whole life. I've received so much from God that sometimes, Christian, I don't really feel comfortable praying, God, I just need more of you. I've received a lot. I have Jesus living in my life. My prayer more often is, God, I want to live more in what you have given me.
That's great.
I don't really need a lot more. I just need to live more in who you are and what you have already given me. I have the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God living in me, empowering me to do things that humans can't do. I have the Son of God, Christ, living in me, and I have the Word of God living in me. And I have a community to live that out with. And I have an understanding of heaven and earth. I think I've got a lot. I think what I realize is I need to live more in what I've got. I need to live more in what I've got and let what I have come through me more. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, you've tasted. And I'll meet someone, they'll say, man, I came to Passion City Church, and you can see the look on their face is just like, wow. Not, wow, Passion City Church is amazing. Like, wow, I walked in and I was like, okay, something's going on. Wow, they were leading the songs and something was going on. Wow, I'm seeing things, hearing things that I've never seen or heard before. I've been in church before, but something's happening to me. I'm tasting is what they're saying, and I'm seeing that the Lord is good. I've got a little bit of a taste that things can change. That life doesn't have to be this way. That God's greater than I thought he was. And what the writer is saying here, Peter, is he's saying, now that you've got that, keep on moving in that. And then he comes to this next passage and he says, as you come to him, the living stone, that's that cornerstone Jesus, living stone, stone is capitalized. And now he describes the cornerstone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. He says, now you come to the living stone, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And he said, oh, and by the way, here's God reminding us, by the way, he was rejected by men. Jesus, the cornerstone, was pushed aside by the builders. It says that in the next few verses. The builders are thinking, okay, God's going to build a great thing. God's going to do a great movement. Jesus arrives on the scene and they say, no, you're not going to be a part of what God is going to do. And the builders just pushed Jesus to the side and thought there was a way to build a bridge to God without building that bridge on the person of Jesus. And what God's reminding us, he's saying that stone was rejected by men, but that stone was chosen and precious to God. And then he says, so here's the whole context. He says, so when you come to the living stone, the one rejected by men but chosen by God, you also, now we're in the story, like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, and now he refers back to a passage in Isaiah the prophet, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And that's what the hope of this Sabbath break is all about. When Peter quoted Isaiah, he quoted Isaiah 28, verse 16. And that verse was a verse that God gave our team when we planted Passion City Church. Some of you know this story and a lot of you don't, but there was a night before we'd ever opened our doors to the public, before we had ever announced really that we're even planting a church, before we'd gone to the tabernacle on that February Sunday and said, welcome Atlanta, we're doing something with God and we'd love you to join us. We were at a family's house, the Peterson's house. We were in their den. There were no more than 20 people in the room. That was Passion City Church. And I was going through one of the most challenging things I've ever gone through in my life. This is 8 years ago, and I'm having a version of like an anxiety attack, a panic attack, verge of depression, I think was triggering a lot of it. I don't know all the underpinnings of it. I just know that I was collapsing, like completely collapsing. And we'd already had this night on the books. We're going to have a night of our core team, and I'm the pastor. And I didn't know if I was going to make it that night, and we were driving there, and Shelley was driving, and I was riding in the passenger seat feeling like I was going to literally just burst out of my skin at some point. And I was beginning to understand, I was a few weeks into this journey, kind of what was going on, and but I was in the middle of it. And we're riding there, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is a disaster. You know, I'm supposed to be the pastor of the church. This is a disaster. I'm supposed to come into this room and lead these people and cast vision for our future. And I don't know if I'm even going to make it out of the car tonight. And I remember pulling into their driveway, pulling up near their garage, and just taking a deep breath and saying, Lord, you have to do this. I don't know how this is going to go tonight, but you have to do this. We walked in and, you know, everybody was getting, you know, some snacks, some drinks were out. We're all kind of milling around talking. And eventually we sat down and it's kind of all eyes on me a little bit. And I said, you know, guys, I just got to tell you, you probably heard a little bit about this, but I'm going through something crazy right now. And I'm barely in the middle of it. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm trusting God. I'm leaning on God. I've got some doctors leaning in with me, but I don't know how this is going to go. And I'll never forget that moment because none of us really had a church at that point. We didn't have a Sunday thing. We were kind of leaning into these midweek gatherings, these prayer gatherings. And one of the people on that team stood up and said, you know, I was at church. I was visiting a church last Sunday because there's been a church here that a friend of mine's been telling me I should go to. And I went there. And the guy preaching Sunday, I think he had 60 points from the book of Isaiah. And he said, and somewhere in the middle of them, this one stood out to me the most. And he opened his Bible to Isaiah 28, and he read this verse. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. Okay, that's a good opening for a verse. This is what the sovereign Lord has to say. This is not what my friend said over coffee. This is not what my neighbor said to me when we were talking on the phone. This is not even what my wife and I decided as we were working through our dreams, our challenges, our issues right now. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, do you see it? I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who trusts will never be dismayed. And he said, I just think that's a word for all of us at Passion City Church, all 20 of us in this moment tonight. And it was just so like God to come into a moment where, on human terms, it didn't all add up, and to say, I have a word for you. I'm laying the foundation. Wow. I'm laying the foundation, and his name is Jesus. He is a tested stone. He's been here from beginning. He'll be here at the end. He is the Alpha, and he is the Omega. He is a sure foundation. So I'm laying the stone. I'm laying the groundwork. I'm pouring the foundation for what I'm going to do. And that foundation, it's not you, Louis. It's not anybody in this circle. It's not somebody with a human frame. I'm laying the foundation, and the foundation is a precious, tested, dependable stone named Jesus Christ. Yeah. And whoever trusts in him, whoever keeps thinking about the bedrock, whoever keeps saying, you know what, up here we got challenges, but we got bedrock below. Up here, we're not sure how things are going to play out, but we know we have bedrock below. Whoever trusts in him. Some translations, I think, actually will include that pronoun. Whoever trusts in him, this precious, tested, tried, and true foundation will not be dismayed. That's slaying the giant of fear and anxiety with a cornerstone named Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you're up against today. We don't really know what we're up against at Passion City Church, but we're light for Jesus in this neighborhood, so it's not going to be a cakewalk. We are here announcing the kingdom of God on earth, so we know it's going to be opposition. And you're going to feel that in your personal life, your professional life. You're probably going through challenges in your family. And I just want to remind you today that God's not building it all on you. We are building it all on Jesus. Yes. And he's the stone that at the end of the day, you're going to be able to bring your kids and your grandkids back to that corner and say, kids, read that. And it's going to say, Jesus did it. Jesus started it. Jesus finished it. Jesus was the power of it. Jesus was the purpose for it. Jesus got the glory in it. Jesus sustained it. Jesus protected it. Jesus purified it. Jesus built it. He used wind and rain and storm and sun. He used great days and hard days. He used joy and sorrow, life and death. And look what he built through us. We're all living stones that God's putting into his beautiful building, his beautiful house. But there's only one cornerstone. There is only one cornerstone. And we are all resting on him. That's why we stop and we rest and we remember. And his name is Jesus. He's given everything he has for you. He's given everything he has for us. Not just to give us knowledge and information, but to give us life, his life, to fill us with his spirit so that we can live this life with confidence, with assurance, peace. We're standing. We are standing on a foundation that will never, ever be moved. So God, I just pray that over the families of Passion City Church today. I pray that over a single adult who's got some dreams and hopes in their heart that haven't materialized yet in 2014. And they did in the year before. And I just pray today that they would remember that underneath their dreams and underneath their hopes is the bedrock of Jesus. I know we got families who are struggling. Got families who are in the best of times and families that feel like they're in the worst of times. People who feel alone. There's families around a table right now and they're almost holding hands together because there's so much solidarity in that family, and there are other families that they're dreaming that maybe that can happen again. People are needing you, Jesus. They're needing a breakthrough. They need a miracle. They need light to shine. They need the weight to lift. They need the fog to clear. Some of them need the water to part so that they can walk through and to what you've promised them. And I thank you today is a day that we don't have to figure it out in our own strength and our own ability. That today is a day that we can cease striving and know that you are God. And today's a day that we can just stand on the grace of God, stand on the person of Jesus, and remember that you always have done it. You are going to do it now. And you are always going to do it in our lives. And we put our hope and trust in you, Jesus. And we give you thanks and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord,
anybody to clap. We don't have like a big celebration at the end of that, but I want to make one because, man, that's what we're celebrating today. And it's just such a great joy to have you guys link in with us from wherever you are and feel like we're family, even though we're in different places today. And our hearts, our prayers are for every single one of you at Passion City Church. And maybe somebody ended up watching this from who knows where, and Passion City Church isn't even your church home. You can stop and rest and remember right now that God's going to come through for you. And that's what I feel like. I just want to speak over our house, Christian. God is going to come through for you. It may not look like the exact plan you have in mind, but God is going to accomplish His purposes in and through our lives. And He is going to do that for you. And this is that moment that you can just praise Him in advance. Well, you know, that I think that makes God so happy when we say, I don't know how you're going to do this, but it's going to be amazing. I don't know how you're going to pull this one off, but it's going to be amazing. I guess it's going to be like when they took the cornerstone and pushed it out of the way and said, that's not good, and you said, no, that is the stone, and then you built the entire church on the person of Jesus. And so we want to give God praise today. We're going to be back at Passion City Church on September the 7th.
That's
coming quick. Yeah. And we're going to be off to a great start for this fall. So we look forward to seeing you in person on the 7th, but we can see you right now. And do we love you right now? And we're excited for you right now about all the things God's doing in your life.
That's right.
Christian, I love this. We should maybe do this more often. I don't know. Every time we come to Sabbath break, I think this is good. This is good.
It is good.
Yeah. I love you. Yeah. It's great being in this journey with you. And we love you guys. It's great being in this journey with you as well. So have an amazing rest of your day, amazing rest of your Sabbath. Let that burden lift and be confident in what Jesus is doing. And we look forward to seeing you guys back here September 7th. Thanks for joining us today. We love you.